The website 538 tweeted this morning that primary day yesterday could be remembered as the day that launched some prominent political careers, including 44-year-old Stacey Abrams, the Georgia Democrat, who, if she wins an uphill fight in November, would become the first African-American woman governor, and 33-year-old Houston-area Republican congressional candidate Dan Crenshaw, former Navy SEAL, who wears an eye patch, who, during his campaign, backtracked on calling President Trump's rhetoric hateful.
Meanwhile, the president is getting ready to sign a bill that 33 Democrats crossed the aisle to approve yesterday that repeals some banking regulations put into place after the financial crisis 10 years ago. And of course, as it happens any day, the president keeps tweeting about what he calls the FBI witch hunt and a spy in his campaign. Let's bring in our political strategist, Alice Stewart, Republican strategist. Hi, Alice.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. And Jamal Simmons, Democratic strategist. Hi, Jamal.
Good day.
Great to be with you, Jeremy and Magma.
Yeah, and let's take a listen to the star of the night last night, or one of them. This is Georgia Democratic gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams in her victory speech.
And I know you know that as our state's rich and complicated history courses through our memories on nights like tonight when the unexpected becomes the truth. It reminds us of who we are.
Jamal, what do you make of last night? And do you think that Abrams has a chance of winning in Georgia?
It's just magnificent. I mean, I've known Stacey Abrams. We actually were in college at the same time. She is a phenomenal leader for the state. And I think what will happen in this election is something we haven't seen in Georgia, which is very different. She is going to both go out and bring new voters to the Democratic Party who maybe are more irregular voters because they'll be inspired by the message she has, and compete particularly among many of the suburban white women that Democrats have been trying for a generation to win. She's going to make a case that she is standing up for them also. And I think that's something, that combination of base voters, swing voters, this new population of voters really matters.
But of course, a primary is different than the general. So, I mean, Alice, is the Republican Party concerned about a candidate like Abrams?
You have to keep in mind, Trump won Georgia by several points, 5 or 6 points, and it's a Republican state. I'm from Atlanta. I born and raised there. And look, I'm old enough to remember when Maynard Jackson was first elected mayor of Atlanta. Now his name's on Hartsfield Airport. Atlanta has come a long way, and Georgia has come a long way. And I think this has been a tremendous victory. And I think the great thing that Stacey Abrams did is She didn't just focus on Democrats or progressives. She really campaigned reaching out to all voters and made a point that she, if elected governor, she would be a governor for all voters. And I saw stories and read stories about her reaching out across the aisle to bring in people from all political parties. That being said, it will be a difficult general election. Casey Cagle and Brian Kemp, the two Republicans that will be facing off in a primary later, they're strong candidates, and they have tremendous name ID given their current positions, and it will be a fun race to watch. But I at the end of the day, I think the Republican will win out.
Well, Alice, look, I'll tell you, I worked for Max Cleland in 2002 when he ran for re-election and lost. That was the year Democrats lost the Senate and governor's races and most of the state races down there. And I will tell you, Democrats have been trying to run a playbook for a generation that's based on trying to woo these sort of Zell Miller Democrats over to the side to get them to turn out. And it's been unsuccessful, including Jason Carter in the last election. So we're going to try something new this time in the party in that state, and I think we'll see whether or not it works.
Alice, more broadly, when you look at the results from yesterday, what does it tell you about whether Republican candidates this fall ought to embrace President Trump or not?
Every candidate will look at how Trump polls in their district, specifically when we're talking about the congressional races, even on the more state and local races. They're going to look at how people view Trump. If he's popular in that area, they're going to hug up to him. And if not, they will say that they will be a check and balance on Trump and his administration and his policies. But I think what frustrates voters more than anything is his rhetoric and his tone and his demeanor. So it will be interesting to see how the economy is doing at that time, how the president's popularity and approval rating is as we get closer to November, and if he's successful with some of these policies he's working on, specifically with regard to North Korea, and how the Mueller investigation plays out. I think we're still far out from defining exactly how important he will be. But no one's going to say right now if they're going to hug up to Trump or if they're going to be a check and balance. It's just too early to say.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Is that true? I mean, I think we saw, you just mentioned Dan Crenshaw, who ran and he backtracked on his opposition to Trump or his criticism of Trump. I'm not sure you can get elected in the modern Republican Party distancing yourself from Donald Trump. That is something you need to do to get through a primary. But then the general election, it's going to be a weight around everyone's necks that runs with Donald Trump. I think that this is a very tough vice for Republicans to be in. And this year we are going to see whether or not Donald Trump can bring anybody else over the finish line, or if his coattails are only for him and his own cronies.
Yeah, let's move on to the rollback of some of the provisions of the Dodd-Frank financial regulation, because it's a really interesting story here. And Jamal, I want to just start with you, because a lot of Democrats joined Republicans to weaken banking rules. Some of those key Democrats are definitely thinking about those large regional banks that maybe want to be free of some of the Dodd-Frank regulations. But I mean, it was only a decade ago that we were on the brink of financial catastrophe. Are you surprised that so many Democrats did join to weaken these banking rules?
I'm never surprised that anything a big business lobby is able to get accomplished in Congress. They are usually able to get something done. But, I heard Barney Frank on NPR earlier, and he was, one of the authors of the original bill. And he said it's not something he would have voted for, but it's not as bad as it could have been. And so Republicans have gone as far as they could, but they didn't fundamentally weaken it, particularly for the biggest banks who have $250 billion or more in assets. In this era where Donald Trump is in business for him and his crony friends, it's hard to find something else that's better.
Alice, you mentioned the Russia investigation. Let's go there next. Leaving the White House this morning, President Trump spoke about his hopes for a big meeting tomorrow that congressional Republicans and Justice Department officials will attend, but not Democrats, to look at secret documents in the FBI's Russia investigation.
What I want is total transparency. Wait, you have to have transparency. Even they probably want transparency, because this issue supersedes a party.
Alice, what do you think is going to come out of this meeting?
First of all, Jeremy, let me just say this. I think the investigators in this case are not above reproach. They certainly deserve oversight. And I do think Congress has the authority to provide oversight. And if there are documents that they are entitled to, they should get. But it should be bipartisan. I think Democrats should be allowed to have access to this information as well. The president just said himself in that comment that this isn't about partisanship. If that's the case, just because Republicans were the only ones that asked for this information, I believe Democrats should also be able to have access to it. So if the meeting stays as it is with just Republicans in there, I think the outcome of the meeting won't be quite as fruitful. If Democrats are included in, which it doesn't look like it will be much more helpful. But at the end of the day, the meeting, in my view, will be just another way for Republicans to get together and compare notes and see where we stand. And they will go forth with what they've continued to do, which I think is unfortunate, is undermine and discredit the investigation as opposed to support it and get to the root of what they're looking for, is how do we prevent Russia from interfering with our elections?
Well, and Jamal, is that working? I mean, just bringing up all these questions about Mueller, about the investigation constantly on the part of the president.
I've got a shocker, but I'm going to tell you, I think Donald Trump is winning. He is changing the rules of the game. He is muddying the water. We heard, recent press reports of him talking very clearly about attacking the media to discredit the media with his voters. He is going after the investigators. He does not care. Donald Trump does not care about any of our political norms. He will not be governed by political norms. He might be governed by the law. We have yet to really test that case, but we know he won't be governed by the norms. Our only a recourse here is that either Bob Mueller is going to find something that is totally damning against him, or the Republicans in Congress, led by the Democrats and perhaps an ailing John McCain, can help save the Republic.
And his point there, he is winning in that he's getting his message directly to his base and his supporters by calling this a witch hunt and spies in his campaign. His voters that will stand by him and go out to vote for him listen to him as opposed to what maybe the media narrative is. And from that standpoint, the president is successful.
Alice, we have just a couple seconds. I want to follow up with you on that for 1 second.
Sure.
If everything you're saying about Trump and reaching out to his voters is basis true, I mean, but what does that mean for democratic norms? What does that mean for basic functioning of democracy in this country? I mean, I'm just curious about what you think about that.
No, that's a great question. The reality is he can sit there and try the case as he's currently doing in the court of public opinion, but the real verdict will come when Mueller hands down his investigation. And that's what that will be a rude awakening for people. If those that have believed this is a witch hunt and the investigation is meritless, if it proves to show some coordination and collusion, which I hope that it doesn't, but if it does, that will be a very, very big black eye on this
presidency.
There might be a witch hunt, but
that's it.
They're witches.
We're done.